This is tape recording number 6308 CO7, a lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard on the 7th of August, 1963. The title of this lecture is R2H Fundamentals. This tape is 79 minutes long.
What's the date?
August the 7th,
8013, St. Hill Special Briefing Course. I'm going to give you a talk today, which isn't the official final rundown of R2H, but which lays down the fundamentals of the process itself. All right. R2H is one of the most satisfying processes that you ever cared to run. It is ARC breaks taken apart by assessment. It has a tendency to succumb to inexpert handling. As long as you give a good thought to the fundamentals of the process, you won't run a cropper. But here is one of the more interesting processes. This process is different than any process we've ever had in Dianetics and Scientology. Don't think that you understand this process, because it's quite different. This process will run engrams and secondaries. It has tremendous power. And therefore, it very well may be senior to R3R, in spite of the fact that it's an R2. It very well may be senior. It may run more bank than these. And the only thing it won't run is a GPM. And to run a GPM, you have R3M and R3N. Well, you'd forgotten R3M, huh? Wait till one day you run into a Wildcat GPM, man. You'll thank your stars for R3M if you know how to do it, because that's how you got the patterns in the first place, was R3M. That's how you got 3N. That's the pop-up process. Out of R3M can be born patterns. 3N presupposes that you've got the pattern. You sit there and let the PC pat a cake around and yap around and bark around and give you random items, and you don't see them rocket read, and you don't know which ends you're going and standing on, and you let him hunt and punch and keep sitting there at the E-meter. I think the fashion is to sit there at the E-meter as the auditor and just keep shaking your head, no, it didn't rocket read, until the PC blows his brain out. Of course, he doesn't need a brain. That's a good thing. But R3M will do a Wildcat GPM, which we mean a GPM for which you have no pattern, and they exist all over the track, and you'll eventually run into one inevitably. Don't think you can just go on running the pattern GPMs, because that means your PC was never caught in a bind that was an oddball bind, see? He never got out to Arcturus and fell in that particular area that nobody else fell into. See, I mean, would be very fortunate if he was normal and had only the normal implants, but that is never true. He's always got an oddball one. So you've got R3M, and that takes care of your offbeat implants. And the only change that I would make in it today, I wouldn't ask the cross question on a pose the way it's asked. I wouldn't ask who or what would oppose to get your next pair. I would say, what does the next pair consist of? Give me the op term of the third pair. That's the one I would use. I would use something like that. And then who or what would oppose it? Yeah. And I'd use that as phraseology. Now, 3N, that's a lead pipe cinch, but 3N has this liability. On some PCs, if you don't random list, I don't care if they had the item or not, and if rocket red or not, you don't get tone arm action. And if your tone arm action ceases, just up and random list. Just as easy as that. That gets all your locks off. The RI with all of its locks, nothing has changed that, don't you see? Even though you've got the item, absolutely cantankerous, make him random list. Who or what would oppose it? And he gives you all kinds of things, and that blows the lock, and your TA action may restore. But the big thing that keeps 3N TA action down, of course, is having the wrong date and the wrong pattern. There's nothing like having the wrong date for the GPM and the wrong pattern from the GPM to freeze the tone arm. That's almost certain. Now, if you add to that session a wrong or out ITSA line, return line from the PC to the auditor, you, of course, have got it made. The TA simply goes up to the moon and sticks and won't go anyplace else. You understand that, don't you? You'd be surprised how often you find a wrong date. You're running the Helitrobus implant, so you think. And you go right into the next goal for which you've listed. And then you try to get absolutably, and you can't get a rocket read. And you say, what's happened? TA's up and stuck. I've got this next goal to be a goof. It's obviously the next goal in line, only it isn't here. Shucks, man, you're probably running a bare implant. Probably shot back on the track, Lord knows where, because the one thing a GPM won't do is properly time. You can duration a GPM, and you can time a GPM, and you can get the date of a GPM almost endlessly. Why? Because its primary basis is lousing up time. Those two opposing items fire against each other, sound like time to the PC, produces a no-change situation, so the GPM floats on the track. And so it's very difficult to time a GPM. So it's just nothing to get the, quote, next GPM in line to run and find out that it isn't at 43 trillion, but at 15 trillion, 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 trillion. Embarrassing. Eventually you go back and start looking for wrong dates on the case, and you finally locate that to be a goof is not the next Helitrobus GPM, but a GPM which exists in the early limbos of nowhere. Now, what's very interesting is an exactly the same looking hill with exactly the same looking parking meters with exactly the same railroad track existed about trillions four ago, which laid in an entirely different pattern, which was far more aberrative than the Helitrobus implants and which is basic on the Helitrobus implants. And I told you one day the Helitrobus implants are on the screens. They show you in the between lives. No, that isn't. I've been making that mistake for about 10,000 years. Every time I put this thing up on the screen, why, it's the wrong implant. They're an early implant, and they had a hill there, unfortunately, located in the same geographical area as the Helitrobus implants. And it looks to the PC just like the Helitrobus implants, only it isn't. You've got a date error then, consisting of trillions four, almost trillions four, you see. Trillion, 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 your data. Of course, your TA action will cease. So there's a lot of tricks in running GPMs. GPMs are what require special techniques. They require special techniques. Now, nothing else that I know of requires a special technique, and you might even do away with R3R. This is a very adventurous statement. If you had a perfect R2H. R2H has the potentiality of running n-grams and secondaries on the whole track with greater avidity and speed than R3R. Because it takes apart the restimulated and bypassed charges which exist in the secondaries and n-grams. It doesn't run the n-grams so much as it takes out of it all the bypassed charges and causes, of course, that particular segment to snap back onto track. You probably not looked at it this way, but you're actually not trying to erase somebody's time track. In the between lives area, they apparently are trying to wipe out your time track so you don't know who you are. But we're actually not doing that. You're not, in actual fact, working with the time track to knock out all the pictures everybody has. That is really not what you're doing. You're trying to take out of the time track the things which prevent a person from having his pictures. And after that, you can restore to him the right to have pictures or not to have pictures, as the case may be. You're trying to pull his knowingness high enough up to a point where the individual does not have to have pictures to tell him who he is. You got that? Your first target is not to erase somebody's time track. You're liable to think that because that is what a between life screen specializes in. It allegedly is trying to invalidate a person's time track to a point where he doesn't have any and therefore can't remember who he is because he has no picture reference. I spoke to you this way about it yesterday. Well, you're really not then trying to erase the whole time track, but there are certain unwanted pictures that he couldn't handle and which he became the effect of. If you take the charge off of those pictures, then pictures become available to the person. And he can have them or not have them, as the case may be. Now, the pictures which mostly louse up things are the GPMs. That's the real mess up. Because a between lives implant has a target of invalidating all of your pictures and therefore wiping out your identity and memory. Because of this, you might think, and I'm sure many people who are upset about auditing, might think that you're trying to do this. You realize a Scientologist may be looked at with askance by certain areas and interests and so forth as though they were between lives implanters, because they get some whiff of the idea that you're going to erase the whole time track, and they might think we're between lives implanters. I don't know what would happen if we... I was toying with this morning. Let me give you a little bit of a laugh out of the side of this. I was thinking of outer space tactics and strategy. This is an interesting and vast subject, and I have come to the conclusion that the missing factor in it is communication, and that lack of communication is what causes all the trouble. All right, that beside the point, that makes then very intricate and complicated tactics and strategies. But I wondered if impishly you couldn't rise above this factor with a few curves of one kind or another by entering societies from within where you did have communication, you see? Well, why would you go about it then? I was sitting there idly speculating about it over my scrambled eggs, and I suddenly realized, still eating, I mean, I'm decadent. I suddenly realized that these between lives blokes, the Markabians, wouldn't know what to do if they came down here and saw that they had a Markab headquarters here. He set up their headquarters for them. And you put up their flag, you see, and so forth. Look at the news story. I must have brought this news story on us or had telepathically realized that somebody was going to call on us. The Mirror Group was calling on us today. So many advances have happened in Dianetics and Scientology in the last 3 or 4 years that they had better be covered. We agree with them perfectly, but how they will cover them, God knows. That's one of the biggest newspaper chains in England, but they also are the author of the Death Lesson stories. And so we regard them with some suspicion. But there is this pressure all the time of, we are, you see, we're putting out fantastic. The stories involved here would make what's turned out in university labs and the psychiatric blokes and this sort of thing. Stagger them, man, you see? I mean, there's more story in any given week in Dianetics and Scientology, you see, than these birds. And the pressure of this much data inevitably will produce some sort of a reaction on the surroundings, you see. And you find these guys sooner or later going to realize they missed the boat. Instead of writing about that cult, they might write about those people And you'll see him swinging around to this sooner or later. But look at the Maccabean press. Here in this prison, in spite of all that has been done to them, they're still loyal to their mother country. How do you know that touching? You know, that's a tearjerker. Yeah, I sort of sat back and I said, well, Ronnie, you're a dangerous man. But the reaction of Earth population, all of which has come down through that channel to these symbols, might be something approaching the most fabulous thing you ever saw. It might be other frothings. It might produce widespread riot and chaos. I don't know. There's an interesting thought anyway, as I think you'll agree. Not that we're going to do anything desperate like that, at least this afternoon. The point I'm making here, is that if you tell a PC that you're going to erase his whole time track, why, he's liable to go into a sort of an aniten propitiate, because this happens to him every 60 or 70 years. To such a degree, you see, that he doesn't quite know whether he's coming or going. But you tell him you're going to give him back his pictures, and you might entirely change your identity as far as he's concerned as an auditor. See, he's got certain pictures that make it impossible for him to get back his pictures. That's what's the condition he's in. And you're, in actual fact, trying to return him to case level 2. And oddly enough, you have to move him to case level 2 before you can move him to case level 1. That's what's very interesting about it. And your PC, in spite of all your erasure pictures, is going to wind up with pictures. Man, he's going to have pictures. He takes them all the time. They just aren't available. Some of these pictures aren't too pleasant. Some of them aren't too unpleasant. But the point is, there is no dearth of pictures. What's the matter with him is that he obsessively makes pictures of everything without discrimination. He's something like a garbage collector, see? Any old picture is good enough. You see? But he gets some of these pictures, like GPMs and jails and things like this, and between lives implants, and they then hit him every time he tries to see his own pictures. You see, and he sees these, and of course they're his pictures too, but he never realizes this. They're so hostile to his future and his mental health that he disowns them. I've just gone through a phase of disowning my whole track out of disgust, you know. Had a beautiful case resurgence for about, oh, I don't know, must have lasted for an hour or two. And, of course, collapsed. But what I did was go through the consideration of track. And track became artificially, you see, the artificiality of it became less and less real until the track itself disappeared. Now the track is appearing with total reality, you see, and good knowingness. It's an interesting through-the-knot-hole experience. You know, I wasn't. I don't know who the hell I am. You at least got up to the point where you didn't need a picture to tell you who you are. You got brave enough to say, well, I just don't know. And from that point on, you start getting your own track back. That's an interesting point that this occurs. And perhaps you haven't given enough attention to this. It's nobody's trying to wipe out your pictures. They're just trying to pick out those pictures which bar all other pictures and which the individual considers hostile. And when you've done that, why, the individual gets back all of his pictures. It's very simple. The hostile ones can no longer bite. Now you've got a case level 2. Now you go after the mechanism which makes it automatic for him to make pictures, and you put this back on power of choice, and of course you've got an OT. And that's the whole scope of processing, where it has to do with pictures and bank and knowingness and so forth. They're all wrapped up in that. Well, now you see, instead of erasing pictures, you could go at this another way. You could bring up the individual's confront with regard to pictures to such an extent that he could even face the hostile ones. Ah, that's an interesting approach too, isn't it? Now, this is comparable to the old exteriorization approach. Instead of erasing the guy's bank, pull him out of it. That's the old exteriorization approach. Well, this is a similar approach, but it's different than either of those approaches. You see, erasing the pictures and pulling the guy out of the pictures, we're pushing the guy up so that he can disentangle and confront his pictures. In other words, we're getting him so he can understand his pictures. And this one works too, which actually gives you a third route to processing. So R2H is not just a method of erasing pictures or getting the PC away from his pictures. It actually raises the individual's potential in recognizing and owning his pictures and making the pictures better. Now, well-run R2H can make the pictures much better, much prettier, much solider, without them being obsessively solid so that they intimidate the PC with their tremendous solidity. Now, that's the important point of it. So with R2H, you actually are embarked on another philosophy. You understand this grip on it. It is its own philosophy. It doesn't make the other philosophies invalid, but it embarks on its own private, personal railroad car and says this is a whole philosophy in itself. Of course, it uses the elements and mechanics and other things. But the individualism of R2H is based on this. There have been some new discoveries about this, and they've been put to work in R2H. And let me show you what these things look like. Here is a Thetan. Now, your first level of life and beingness, your first look at life and beingness, what life and beingness are, exist as potentials or abilities, not as things. And those potentials and abilities consist of A, R, and C. You know all about A, R, and C. Affinity, reality, and communication. But think of those things as potentials. Not affinity for anything special, but the potential of having affinity. In other words, you could say, what is the potential of the A, R, and C of an individual? What is his potential? You'd be asking the same thing as, how alive is he? The more alive he is, the more ARC he's capable of. The less alive he is, the less ARC he's capable of. That's interesting, isn't it? What do you think of a philosophy that thinks that man is mud? Well, let's take a look at this. ARC, and probably this could be drawn in different ways, ARC goes out to, and remember that communication with other beings is through matter, energy, space, time, and so forth. See? But this ARC potential, or ARC with what? What is this ARC with? Communication with, reality about, affinity for, see? What are these things connected up with? Well, if there were just other beings, it'd be a telepathic ball, and that would be that. But when you talk to Joe, you're actually talking through mess to Joe. No matter how you're communicating with Joe, unless your ARC is so much on the ball that you can telepathically communicate. And by the way, your ARC doesn't have to be very high to telepathically communicate. That is quite interesting. Man is at large below this level of telepathy, but it is paid attention to in some civilizations to the degree that, they set up, you've got a three-way communication. You've got conference with other departments or ship commanders or something, no matter whether it's a business or a unit of some kind or other. And you set up a box. You set up a box, and the Thetan briefs them through a box, which telepathically retranslates his thought onto an endless banner and puts it out with sound also. In other words, telepathy is sufficiently strong that it can be mechanically reconverted. A device no more difficult than the vocotyper that the IBM keeps trying to make. You talk to the typewriter and it types, you know? Well, this is a telepathic vocotyper. I'm not talking out of popular mechanics. In other words, the telepathy factor is strong. It is something you have to deal with. They have anti-noise campaigns in New York City. Well, I imagine in a boarding house, a bunch of thetans would have an anti-telepathic campaign, you know? But key, stop shouting telepathically all night, you know? Telepathy is a very heavy, hard-hitting force. Some of you will be going through an implant or something like that, and you'll pick up off the track what you think is your postulate, and then suddenly realize it isn't your postulate, but somebody thought it in your vicinity. You sometimes can pick up the thoughts or fear of some thetan down the line who is also being implanted. This stuff will sometimes kick back into an implant. It's quite valid. There's nothing to worry about with that. This isn't any lecture about telepathy. It gives you an idea of how low ARC can go without disappearing, and how high it can also go, because the birds I'm talking about that use telepathy for communication aren't even, by your chart estimates, in very good shape. See, they've had the heliotropes implants too, but they just aren't getting their lives wiped out every 60 or 70 years. See? That factor is missing. The only factor of difference between your case and theirs. See, that's the sole difference. Every once in a while, their empire gets wiped out and somebody implants the lot, but that's life. So here's your ARC. And your ARC can go up then to pretty high levels. And it depends, below a certain level, on matter, energy, space, and time as its communication media. ARC gets very important after you start dropping away from telepathic communication. It becomes very important because you see it so much present before then that nobody ever thinks of it. Nobody ever thinks of it at all. You're just not mad at people, and reality is terrific, and you know all about it, and communication is good, and your understanding and knowingness are pretty well up. So it wouldn't be something that you worried about at all. But the second you start introducing messed into communication lines, living with great dependence upon this universe, in this universe, then ARC become very important and become the measure of life. Of course, they're there all the way up. But you don't measure them as going out. In fact, I believe nobody would believe they could. Livingness. Degree of livingness is measured by ARC. How is alive is somebody? It's how much ARC is he capable of. That is the test. Now, when you get over here, let's just rule out telepathy. I'm saying it exists, but it isn't necessary to our proposition at all, and it's a highly individual and odd bit of business. See? That transcends matter, energy, space, and time, and goes straight to other beings. So we would have thetans as a thing to be in ARC with, and then we would have matter, energy, space, time, form, location. Now, you could add to this, you could break these down further, but they are the principal things beyond which there is no breakdown. Possibly in importance, it ought to be L and then F. Now, the ARC that this individual has expresses the degree that he can be cause over these. The potential of ARC of the individual gives you the degree that he can be at cause over Thetans, matter, energy, space, time, form, and location. The less life he has, the less he is. Now, as the Thetan gets more and more solid, he is less and less capable of ARC. That's fairly obvious, isn't it? Why? It isn't that his solidity prevents him from communicating or feeling affinity or that sort of thing, but it's simply an indicator that he must have broken ARC with matter, energy, space, time, form, and location, or it wouldn't be piled on him without his choice. That's an interesting point, isn't it? He must have had ARC breaks then with matter, energy, space, time, form, and location. But how could he have ARC breaks with matter, energy, space, time, form, and location without having ARC breaks with other statements? Well, I think it's probable and very possible that he could have. But the truth of the matter is, it was having ARC breaks with other thetans that caused him to start to ARC break with matter, energy, space, time, form, and location. Doesn't necessarily follow that way, but normally that would be it. So, as an individual rises up the line, he then rises back toward direct communication, direct affinity, direct reality on other beings. The less ARC he has, the more matter, energy, space, time, form, and location he has to go through in order to communicate to other beings. See, you look a little bit dense on that one. Let me give you an idiot's line. Here you have Bill, and here you have Space, and here you have Joe. Now, Joe, in order to hear Bill, has to register an airwave which is generated by Bill. So Bill generates an airwave vibrations that are received by Joe and are reinterpreted into ARC. So ARC here are converted, and then are converted from matter, energy, space, time to ARC. And you, in actual fact, have done this cycle. This thetan here communicates to those thetans there by going up here, here, see? And actually, they communicate back similarly. See? Get the idea. Once you drop away from telepathy, you enter mist into the line. And ARC then becomes subordinate to MEST. And you eventually get a bunch of knuckleheads implanted up to their ears. Do you ever realize Einstein went through the between lives area and he kicked the bucket? Served him right. I wonder if he traveled faster than constant. These brutal, gruesome thoughts I have once more. Now, look at this. Man is not mud, but a fellow who isn't alive at all would think only mudly. He'd have very muddy thinking. He'd come to mud-like conclusions. Therefore, his mental sciences are very mud-like. There are no mental studies which admit today, that are currently being taught, that admit of the existence of a being. They only admit of the existence of a biological combinations of mud resulting in a very muddy result. Psychology textbooks today begin by very carefully, do not know what a psyche is, and they do not even know if one exists, and they're pretty sure it doesn't. But we will now give you the parts of the brain. What are you dealing with there? You're dealing with somebody who is so far away from other beings But he is no longer talking through Mest. He's talking to Mest. Ding, 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 here comes the wagon. Every once in a while, you see some little, poor little kid that's been knocked in the dome too much, and he'll be out there beating his red wagon. And you yourself, in your dippier moments, will start talking to something on the mantelpiece. And when you're particularly foggy in the morning and haven't been awakened, you're very often prone to curse your shoes. Well, you may be doing it on another harmonic, because the Thetan is always capable of investing things with light. And you're probably doing it because you've alived the shoe. You see, you're perfectly capable of mocking up a living being and making it talk and walk totally independent of you. Perfectly, perfectly capable of doing that. Used to do it as OTs all the time. So you're capable of investing matter, energy, space, and time, and so forth, with life. And then other determining it, saying it is no longer I, and having it walk around and talk. Now, that's a potential that's talked about in Dianetics' Evolution of a Science, that speaks of Throgmagog. You can always invest something with life, such as a shoe. And you can always pretend that a shoe is alive. But how would you like to be in the kind of a condition where you thought another living being was no more capable of life than a shoe? Let's reverse that, see? Let's get a total reverse on the situation. Let's look at a living being and say that this living being has no life in it. Now, you got some kind of an estimate of how far downscale you can go and somebody can still sit there and eat breakfast. Got the idea? It's pretty far south. Matter, energy, space, time, form, and location. ARC breaks with caused the dwindling spiral of. ARC breaks with other beings, matter, energy, space, time, form, and location bring about a deterioration of one's ARC. It never really deteriorates, one just believes. It is deteriorated, you see. In other words, you can have an ARC break with Mest. You can have an ARC break with form. You can have an ARC break with locations. It's very common for an animal to have ARC break with locations. The place where an animal has been hurt will be avoided by that animal very carefully. Now, what, in essence, does this forecast? That is the basic theory behind R2H. It forecasts that by clearing up a person's ARC breaks, one then returns to him his ARC potential. Clean up his ARC breaks with matter, he feels better about matter. Clean up his ARC breaks with energy, he'll feel better about energy. Clean up his ARC breaks with space, he feels better about space. Clean up his ARC breaks with time, and he will feel better about time. Clean up his ARC breaks with form, and he will feel better about form. Clean up his ARC breaks with location, he feels better about location. Clean up his ARC breaks with other beings, and he feels better about other beings. And all the way up the line, of course, his bank, that reservoir of ARC breaks, is getting plainer and plainer to him and more confrontable to him. Because all of his ARC breaks in terms of pictures have responded as the reactive mind ARC breaks. Because the reactive mind is made, after all, out of images of Other beings, matter, energy, space, time, form, and location. It's as easy as that. And that consists of the reactive mind. So by cleaning up his ARC breaks with these things, you tend to clean up his ARC breaks with the things he's got pictures of in the reactive mind that he can't confront, and his reactive mind opens up and he can tolerate it and confront it.